Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Podtacular. I am Duststorm, and I am here today with some very special guests. We have Remnant and ODST coming out due to some good and hardworking effort through 343 and Certain Infinity. And I have Dan Ayoub, executive producer at 343 Industries, and JP Eaton, lead environment artist at Certain Infinity, here with me today. Welcome to Podtacular, guys.
Hey, thanks very much.
Appreciate it.
This is quite exciting. I know a lot of people have been anticipating seeing ODST and Relic come to the Master Chief Collection ever since it was announced back in December. And a lot of time has gone by since then. I think there was a little time window in there where we didn't hear anything and people were wondering if it was really going to happen. But it looks like the time has finally come and you guys are ready to show the fruits of your labor and give this out to people. So let's talk about that, shall we? First things first, the ODST campaign remake. I think for most Halo fans, ODST campaign is the most favorite campaign. So to see this back in the Master Chief Collection, I think a lot of people are going to be really happy, especially a lot of the lore people. What was the thing that made you decide to bring in a completely new campaign into a game that already had four massive campaigns? Why choose ODST as that massive of an undertaking to bring into the collection?
That's a great question. You know, it's kind of twofold. So, you know, while we were doing the, talking about MCC around launch time and all of that good stuff, a lot of the questions I got a lot, in fact, the most often, was what about ODST? What about Reach, right? Like, those were the two biggest things. Obviously, we already had a mouthful. We had a lot to do with the MCC, and we had no intention to do anything beyond that. But it was very interesting to hear so many people ask for that. Now, obviously, with the challenges we had around launch, our thinking shifted to, it's like, okay, you know, fans have been really patient with this. We want to give them something really special to kind of say, hey, you know, this isn't what we wanted for you. So we thought back to that experience and, like, you know, what did a lot of people ask for? And, you know, ODST was something we heard consistently in all of the conversations we were having. So, you know, although we had no intention to doing it prior to launch, that's when we rolled up our sleeves and decided to make it happen. And, you know, the other thing we wanted to do to make sure we had a great experience for everyone was to fully integrate it into the existing UI and playlists and everything like that with the MCC. So it still feels, you know, integrated as part of that larger global UI experience. But it was absolutely not something we had any intention of doing throughout the course of development.
So how was the development for Halo 3 ODST to get that into the Master Chief Collection? How'd that compare to Halo 3? I'm guessing a lot of the groundwork was already done because Halo 3 was already pulled in and the game engines are very similar in design and code. So what were some of the challenges that were unique to getting Halo 3 ODST into the collection?
So yeah, you definitely hit on the major points, right? We had a base to work with because the work on, a lot of the groundwork on 3 had already been done. The approach we took to it was very similar to the approach we took for 3 to 4. That is, it was more procedural in nature. If you think back to what we did for Halo 3 in the Master Chief Collection, we didn't go in and touch all of those assets by hand, but the game still, you know, ran better, it looked better, it was running at 1080p, 60 frames per second, it was a lot smoother. So we did the same thing with ODST. I think the other challenge we had was just that integration into the master UI because we never intended to do ODST. We didn't have any hooks, we had no foundation built. And we wanted to be, you know, very mindful of, you know, making sure that it fit and flowed and felt like a natural part of that collection. So I would say, you know, the biggest challenges were that A, it wasn't planned, and then B, how do we make it feel like a natural extension of this larger collection?
Right. And you guys have actually done a pretty good job at getting a good list of playlists for people to go and experience ODST in any kind of unique form and fashion, similar like you guys did for the rest of the campaign, which is cool because ODST is very unique in its style where you kind of have this central hub to go throughout the game. And you really can do things out of order. So how is it developing the playlist for ODST? Because I'm assuming the challenge is with having that central hub, getting that to actually work well with the playlist structure, and then getting that to work with the engine was probably a unique challenge. So how was that to implement?
That was an additional challenge for us as well. Again, exactly as you say, just based on how the game is fundamentally created and architected. So what you'll see with a lot of the playlists, what we've done is in addition to, you know, giving that ability to move around, however you want. It's also how do we start to integrate it? Because, you know, we do have the combined playlists that take all of the games and put it together. So, you know, that was one route for us is like, okay, well, now we have all of this extra content that we can use to create some more global playlists. So it was a fun challenge, but it was something, again, we wanted to make sure it felt fully integrated into the UI and the other playlists and things like that. And, you know, that's something we're feeling pretty good about.
One unique playlist that I saw was Street Smart, and this is where you go through every iteration of Mombasa streets. Is this right. The same thing as the new Mombasa level that you unlocked once you played through the whole campaign, or is this something that's a little bit different experience?
I want to make sure. So you're referring to the playlist in particular is going to take you through all of those iterations. So there could be some overlap, and we have some other stuff in some of the other playlists that I don't want to say too much about right now. We do have a few surprises in there as well.
Is that new Mombasa level available to people that do complete the campaign? Because back in ODST, once you actually beat the campaign, you could go into new Mombasa and basically replay it and go to any mission.
No, effectively, similar to what we did with 3 and 4, you're going to be able to do anything in ODST that you could in the original game. So yeah, you'll absolutely be able to do that.
Awesome. Now, for a lore nut like me and probably some other ones out there, one of the cool things was the audio terminals. Have you guys gone back and touched those up and updated those, or have those mostly been untouched and just up-rezzed?
Yeah, those are mostly untouched. We didn't make a lot of changes to those, but they're absolutely still going to be in the game.
What kind of achievements for ODST did you kind of keep from the original game, and did you introduce any new achievements into the campaign experience for the Master Chief Collection?
So yeah, you're going to see some old, some again, I don't want to say too much about it because I want people to get in there and check it out and see it for themselves. But you are going to see a combination of old and new.
Very nice. Any new Easter eggs that we could possibly see?
I guess you're going to have to jump in there and find out.
All right. No hints or anything?
No, I'm going to be dodgy.
All right.
You know, yeah, we definitely wanted this to be a fun experience. So people should nose around.
Very nice. And there are lots of places to nose around because it is a pretty big place. Every single level is huge. That's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, there's a lot of real estate in there.
I noticed one thing was that the visor UI was a little bit updated. One thing that stuck out to me in particular was the compass. It actually looks a little bit different than its
right.
Xbox 360 counterpart. Were there any other UI elements that you went and touched up or refined, whether it's in the UI or in the actual visor mode?
So, you know, you hit on something that we noticed pretty quickly. So one of the things we found, because of the uniqueness of that UI, when we enhanced things to 1080, just things stopped fitting properly in some cases, right? And we had to go in and we did have to do some manual touches. So, you know, we tried as much as possible to keep that experience intact because that's always a big part of it for us. It's just, you know, it's the same challenge that I think CA hits and they were talking about earlier of like whenever you redo stuff, you want to make sure it's still playing the same as people remember. But we did have to hand touch a few things to the UI that people will notice that were just a consequence of like, you know, hey, it's a 1080, it's great, it's better, it's smoother, all of that good stuff. But we did have to do some manual tweaks just to make sure like the UI fit properly.
One of the other things that the Master Chief Collection brought that you'll get to do in ODST is also use the time, the scoring, and the skulls as well. And there are also Lazo and S-Lazo playlists in there as well. Was that also tricky to get in there? And is something like Mombasa Street scored differently, or is that kind of the same scoring style?
It'll be in the same scoring style. There's so many, there's a lot of interesting details and subtleties to how a lot of things work in ODST. And we did have to, we had a few challenges in some cases working into the larger system and making sure everything worked the way it was supposed to. I think at the end of the day, we've got to a good balance and people are going to feel like it plays, how they remember. But we did have some challenges with that as well.
Nice. And one last question, then I'll let JP take the center stage for a little bit, is a lot of people have been asking, why do only the campaign and not do Firefight? Because Firefight was actually heavily based off of the campaign code. Talking with certain people, the development of the game was actually done in such a way where you could actually run Firefight modes within campaign, depending on how you started it in dev. So with how close Firefight and Campaign was. What was the decision to only do Campaign and not pull something in with Firefight?
Right. No, totally fair question. Honestly, a lot of what that comes down to is time. You know, we're doing this primarily because, you know, we wanted to do a make good for fans who you know, kind of worked through our launch issues with us. And it was the difference of, well, when can we get it to them, right? Obviously, we want to get something to people as quickly as possible. And this was the difference between, you know, us being able to pull this off in this time frame versus, oh, God, you know, this is going to take an extra 6 months to, you know, upgrade all of this code and make this work in, on an Xbox One. And we just wanted to make sure we were able to get something to people quickly.
Awesome. All right, JP, it's your turn now for the limelight.
All right, shoot.
The new map coming to Halo 2 Anniversary is the Relic Remake Remnant. This is one that I think a lot of people have some fond memories of, especially One Flag CTF, One Side Objective. It's a very good map for kind of that small to mid-team gameplay. First things first, I think the question on everyone's mind is, why Relic?
That's a great question. And I think Dan can answer part of it and I can answer the other half. Knowing, looking back at the MCC, we had to get down to six maps. And Relic was right down to our last cut. It was number seven. It was between Relic and Coag. Both had, you know, really good big team battles. And for the MCC, we ended up picking Coag. So it was next on our list. And I know it was a big thing for the community to get involved on this. And we wanted it to be a big esport as well. So we had the awesome opportunity to use Relic. And there's a couple wins for us. Was number one, it hasn't been remade yet. And it's a great chance for us to get some new art on it. And two, it's a great map for a big team battle. I don't know if Dan wants to add anything to that.
Well, I think you hit it. I mean, I think in addition to that, it was just how well that map works for esports and how excited our pro team and our pro players were around us using that map. Yeah, but I think you hit that.
Mentioning esports, is this a map that's been evaluated to be included in the HCS? Is this something that is being evaluated to slip in before Halo 5 comes and HCS rolls around for Halo 5? Or is this just kind of one of those maps that's going to be pulled into matchmaking? You're still working out the kinks on whether or not it's going to be included in the competitive side of things.
I think it's too early to say exactly what we do, but it is absolutely being considered. You know, the HCS guys and the pros are really excited about the map, and I think it's definitely, definitely under consideration.
One of the iconic things of Relic was that ramp that led up to the top of the base. And I noticed in the screenshots, you don't see the ramp there compared to the old one. And I know in the original game, those ramps were there dependent on game type. Is that still the case for Remnant, or are those something that are completely out? Is that something that can be forged in? How does that map flow work in this version of the map?
Well, Dustin, you definitely have a good eye to notice that. I applaud you on that.
Thank you.
That was one of our modifications to the map. Our designer, Clint, did a really good job on figuring out how the flow of the map was to work. And what you're seeing there is there's a grav lift that'll take you to that second level. And this was thoroughly tested by the pro team and our team. And that grav lift is the replacement for the ramp. And it's something that really created a lot of really fun gameplay. And it'll be good for you to get your hands on it and try it out. I mean, there's nothing better than being able to drive a mongoose up to the grav lift and shoot up and surprise everyone on that deck.
Oh, gosh, that would be horrifying.
Yeah, no, and if you forge in a tank, you're able to even shoot the scorpion up there, and that was a blast. But to answer your question, going back to the game modes, the grav lift is only there for the CTF, and then it's removed in the, I'm sorry, it's for vice versa. It's removed in the CTF and there for Slayer.
One of the other things I noticed, too, to the map design was the sniper tower has changed a little bit. It's no longer a Covenant anti-grav tower, but it's kind of a UNSC base tower. And how was that design aspect brought into it?
Yeah, so part of our remake was changing the actual theme of the map. If you remember correctly, there was the Albatross crashed on the beach. Then you had the Forerunner structure in the center, and then the Covenant Tower on the right. We decided to remake it and add the Stone Runner back in, which is received very well from the MCC, and then make the actual UNSC base studying the actual Remnant itself. and that was a part of the actual UNSC base that's there. And out of playtesting, the old tower was always something where you're left very vulnerable. When we're playing on H2, you know, if you go up there, you're pretty much going to be dead in maybe like 5 or 10 seconds if someone sees you. With the new tower, it gave us a lot more cover, and it became a new focal point in the map.
Very nice. Yeah, it looks like it gives you a lot more options to actually hold that position instead of being just sniped out of anywhere. Because you call that position out, you have 4 people instantly on you, and you're dead pretty much.
Yeah. No, it's great. And I can't tell you how many good battles we've had around that little tower now. It becomes a power position, and it's great. You get a couple of your buddies up there, and then you have the lay of the land, and you can take out everyone on the main tower. So it's fun. It's been really fun up in that tower.
Very nice. One of the iconic things of Relic also was the one-way teleporter and the fact that you had to go turn on the teleporter in order to get it to work. Now, with the switching system in Halo 2 Anniversary, I'm guessing that wasn't that hard to implement. And is that one-way teleporter still the same as it was in its original counterpart?
So yes, we do have the teleporter, and it is awesome. As you know, it's a pain going back and forth in that map. And so, yeah, it's double-sided now, though. So you can go in on either side and launch into the actual Forerunner structure or back into the beach side.
Nice. And is the switch still like default in the base where you have to turn it on? Or is it just kind of, is there switches on both sides?
Yep. So you have to go inside the Forerunner base, drop down into the little toilet bowl, what we call it, and then hit the switch.
Interesting name for that. I have to remember that when I'm playing.
Well, with the new theme, it should be fitting because it's nice and slimy and wet in there.
Very nice. Every map that's been reintroduced into the Halo 2 Anniversary and the Master Chief Collection has had some kind of interactive element. Did Remnant get the same kind of treatment? Is there a specific interactive element for this map?
Since we already had the teleporter, we felt like we didn't want to add another huge interactive element. Not to spoil anything, we did add some additions to the map. And I think you did catch one of them when you asked about the ramps earlier. And then again, our designers did a great job in modifying some of the weapon placement, changing some of the existing cover, while maintaining the old skill jumps and everything that people liked playing with before. But again, I don't want to give you all the hints. There's a couple things in there that I want you guys to play and find out for yourself.
Fair enough. I like little surprises. One of the things with Warlord that got changed was a central weapon, the Sentinel Beam, replaced the shotgun and rockets. Are all the weapons in Remnant basically the same ports over, or have there been weapons that have been changed up a little bit based on gameplay and based on the updated engine? Or is that weapon set still pretty much the same as it was in the original?
The weapon set is very close. There has been some modifications with the actual locations. Again, after playing it and moving around some of the tower elements that you mentioned where the Covenant Tower used to be, we did do a little bit of modification, and it's playing really nice now. It's really smooth. It shouldn't be too far from the original to upset anyone, but I think once people start playing it, they're really going to love the actual new placement.
And, of course, the Gun Goose is in there. The tank is still there.
Oh, yeah, the Gun Goose is in there. That's one of our favorites.
I know it is. I've talked to quite a few people from Certain Affinity, and you guys absolutely love that thing. Are there any achievements, and Dan, this might be more a question for you, are there any achievements coming to Halo 2 Anniversary that is specific to Remnant, or is there all the new achievements really just going to be ODST focused?
Guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the new achievements are primarily around the new ODST campaign.
Yeah.
No one's correcting me, so I assume that's the case.
I don't think there's anything special for Remnant. Yeah.
So that's what we're going to get with ODST and Remnant. Thank you, Dan Ayoub and JP Eaton, for taking the time to talk to us about what we're getting. For those listening at home, Halo 3 ODST is going to be free for those who play the Master Chief Collection logged in live between the dates of November 11th and December 19th of last year. You'll get an Xbox Live message with a DLC code that you can redeem or to your registered email address. Codes are going out right now, so check your messages. And if you did not play between those time frames, you'll be able to buy the DLC from the Xbox Live Marketplace for $5 or $4.99, technically. So it's a great campaign. I definitely suggest you guys pick it up, even if you didn't play during that time frame. It's a wonderful campaign. And as for Relic, that's going to be free for everybody to download, and it's available now as part of the latest content update. So make sure you go pull that. Remnant is going to be a lot of fun. I have a lot of distinct memories on Relic, especially a lot of one-sided. Actually, for one of our game nights recently, we played a customs one-side CTF, and it was intense. A lot of fun.
Oh, it's definitely it's still intense. We're actually playing just the other day, and it almost ended in fisticuffs. You know how that goes.
Very nice. Well, guys, thanks again for taking the time out to come talk to us about this, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you guys later in the future.
Look forward to
thanks
it.
Thanks a lot, Dustin. I appreciate it.
And for more content regarding the Master Chief Collection, you guys can head over to podtackler.com. We'll see you guys next time.